Fran, are you there? All right, let me find Fran.
Okay, I'm here.
All right, Fran is with us.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Let me. Can you still hear me, Fran?
I can.
All right, terrific. I just want to let you know that the meeting is being recorded. It is currently 3:59 p.m., so I will be letting folks know.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, are you and I the only ones on here currently?
We are the only ones currently on.
Are folks still waiting to get in to the meeting?
We have everybody. They're all loading on the screen right now,
Okay.
Fran.
I can see a few of them, but I see that they're muted. Are they muted by default?
They are muted by default at this point, yes.
Okay. I just didn't know when you were ready for me to start.
Just a general reminder now that showing that everybody should be able to at least hear me at this point, I wanted to let all of the folks at Watson Run know, just as a last reminder, that this meeting is being video and audio recorded. So by staying on the line, you are consenting to allow us to video and audio record you. I know the emails that went out have already referenced this and given you a heads up, but we just have to tell you at the beginning of the meeting that the meeting is in fact being video and audio recorded. Thank you.
So am I good to go?
You are good to go. And let's just do a test run real quick. If you can see on your screen where it says agenda, please give me a thumbs up. All right, terrific. All right, Fran, take it away.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I am so happy to see the sun shining. It seems like it's been months and not days since it last was out. I know it's cold out there. I'm happy to see a sunshiny day for a change. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I know this was maybe a sacrifice for some of you to do this at this particular time. We were trying to figure out the best time, and there really isn't a best time. So I appreciate that those of you who could tune in live and anybody that couldn't, remind your friends and neighbors that they can catch the recording, a little bit later on the website. We felt it was important now that all of the information, including the schedule, is available, that we revisit this entire process that's going to be taking place next week. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that. And as most of you know, this was first unveiled to the community that something was going to be happening on December 14th, was your first notification. You received an email from WCAT. And there was in the agenda for that Zoom meeting that evening, there was a mention about this and lots of information. And since that time, there have been many, many additional communications that hopefully everybody has been receiving. We've sent out, probably some of you are going, oh my gosh, not another communication about this. We just want to make sure that everybody is clear on exactly what is happening and why it is happening, because it is of utmost importance that this community be safe. And I think we could all agree on that we all want everyone to be safe. So I am now going to turn over the agenda to Amber so that she can go back. For anybody that still is not clear on why we're doing this, she's going to go back and review the information about why this is happening from a legal, mandated standpoint. You
Thank you,
ready, Amber?
Fran. I am ready. Can everybody see on your screen, if you can, the word memo? If you can give me a thumbs up, just so I know I'm not talking to myself. Terrific. Thank you very much. Many of you are thinking to yourself, I've seen this before. We reviewed it at the December 14th meeting. I've got an email about it, and it's on the website. You are, in fact, correct. However, unfortunately, some folks either didn't receive the information, they haven't had time to read it. So, because we've gotten some redundant questions, we just want to make sure we go over it one more time. So, what happened is your current board of directors wanted to go through all of the governing documents and mandates for the Watson Run Homeowners Association. So, that meant going through inception when this was just a Burke's Home and Red School LLC idea, all the way over to where we're almost at the completion. So that meant we got all of the documents from the recorder of deeds office at the county. We also got all of the documents for Watson Run at the township, and the executive board and our company went through all of them. When we went through all of the documentation, we noticed that there was a township specific requirement for Watson Run that all of the homes within Watson Run had to be hooked up to a fire alarm monitoring system. So if you've had that through the association, you've been utilizing, you're thinking, well, we've always done this. What's the difference? The difference is there was roughly about 40 homeowners that either did not know about this provision. They knew that their monies paid for something, but they weren't really sure what it was. And there was a good group of folks that they didn't even have any fire alarm monitoring. So in order to clean that up, the board had to come up with some rules and regulations specific to the fire alarm monitoring in order to make sure that they're keeping the community safe, but also that they are in fact complying with the township expectations and mandates for the Watson Run community. So the first question we posed to the township was, where does the mandate for fire alarm monitoring originate? The reason why the executive board and our company went to the township is because there was nothing in your governing documents that even spoke about the fire alarm monitoring mandate. There was no rules and regulations. The developer essentially had the responsibility to come up with this information. They did not. So they did not comply with a requirement of the township. So now that is now by default to the responsibility of your current board of directors. So on October 13th of 2020, an email from WCAT went to Laycock Township official Frank Howe. Mr. Howe responded to our question. He said there is a requirement of the final subdivision and land development plans. Look at the final plans for phase one, page 2 of 40 under municipal special notes number 7, and it will explain it to us. So this was done because of the closeness of the homes and not because of the availability of water. So there are some homeowners that only thought they needed fire alarm monitoring for the homes until there was water and there was hydrants placed and actually working within the community. That is not correct. This mandate is specific to Watson Run and it's a township requirement. So down here, you're going to see that requirement that is actually in your subdivision plan for Watson Run. It reads, the developer shall require the builder to provide each residential unit with a fire detection system that would automatically notify the appropriate emergency responders in the event of a fire. The system shall be mandatory for each home and shall be operated through the homeowners association and identified as such within the homeowners association documents. So, number one, we have the word shall, and if we have any attorneys that are in the bunch right now, their ears are dinging because shall typically means you must do it. So because the current board of directors was not provided with any kind of information either from the developer or from boards past who didn't, it's certainly not a nick at them. Nobody knew about this requirement because again, the developer never put it in the governing documents, which they were mandated to do. So that is why all of a sudden this has become an issue. Number two is even if we kept everything the same and made no changes, your cells for the fire alarm monitoring are mandated to go over to 5G. I'm not even going to pretend that I understand all of this internet stuff. I don't, but I do know, and this is actually community-wide with all of our associations and all of the fire alarm monitoring, most are under a 3G system. They're all now mandated to go over 5G. So even if Watson Run was not trying to correct the wrongs that happened prior to the boards, even, you know, to the homeowner boards taking over, we would still have to make upgrades and changes because we have to all go over to 5G that have the cellular monitoring. So that gives you a little bit of a background. The reason we thought this was so important to bring to homeowners' attention is because this is not something that the board just woke up one day in December and decided they wanted to hit the community with. Fran, God bless her. She spent much of her holiday talking to my staff, talking to me, talking to Yarnell. This is not an easy thing to do, to try to get 178 homes turned over so that the township essentially doesn't come after the association for not following the rules that were prescribed that they shall must do. So that is some background of what we're working with right now. In the memo that we have, I just went over some of the issues, how we saw them, because it is a requirement and it's not being done. The good thing about your current board of directors is they don't want to write anything that is going to make it very difficult for changes for other boards and other homeowners that get on the board to make. So what they, the current board of directors decided to do is they made the stipulations and the requirements for the fire alarm monitoring. They made it a part of your rules and regulations, which means that whoever comes next for the board of directors, if they have a different idea or a way of doing it, if the association is not doing well financially, all of those different circumstances that we currently don't have, you can easily change this. So the next board of directors can come up with their own rules and regulations surrounding the fire alarm system. However, we had to start somewhere. And the current board of directors did not basically deadlock the next homeowner board into contracts, into have to's. So this is not forever. However, it's the starting place that should have been created when the governing documents were written, and they were not. So now it's a responsibility of the executive board to right that wrong. Let's see. Some of the information, I don't know if Fran, if you wanted to, that's most of what I wanted to go over with the memo, is just the reason why we're doing this.
The bottom of page 3, though, I would like to talk about this particular device. It's in italics, notes about cellular. It's really important for everybody to know that going forward from this point, if you are currently monitored through a landline, through Comcast, if you wish to not have your landline anymore, you can disconnect your landline if that's the only reason you're keeping it. Unfortunately, Mr. Yarnell told me that in his business, he often finds that people will, they'll do that. They'll discontinue their phone and not realize they've just closed down their monitoring device by doing that. So I want people to understand that if you opt to do that, you can opt to do it. You will be able to, because it will no longer depend on your phone. It also doesn't depend on internet. We have residents at Watson Run who do not have internet, who do not care to have internet. It doesn't matter. No technology, no special technology is needed. This is a self-contained unit that is placed on your alarm box, and you need to do nothing. It actually not only does the monitoring, but it will self-test, and they will be notified if your system is not working. So it's really a very good way for us to go. And we should have no issues. The biggest thing is, you know, taking this leap and doing this humongous project. And there's no way I could be doing this without the support of WCAT. It's, you know, it's an HOA mandate, but our management company, this is a lot of work for them that is above and beyond what they're contracted to do for us. So I'm very grateful for all the support that they've given me on this. So that's all I wanted to point out, is it's really nothing that you'll need to do. And the other good news piece, and I know people have asked about it, this question, if you've been following all the discussions, you will not be paying anything for this cellular unit. And it's not magical. The money's not falling from the sky, but we have a fortunate situation that we have a surplus in our budget from 2020 that allowed us to purchase these. That's all money that homeowners have paid in. So it was your money in the first place. However, it's no additional cost out of your pocket. And then the second thing is, for now, we are also able to handle the increased monitoring cost for 2021 without passing that along. that may not be a forever thing. But the $12 that you have all along been paying, that $12 that goes comes out of your dues, whether you were using the current vendor or your own or nothing, you were still paying for it. You will still pay money, that same $12 will be coming out of your dues. And the additional $6 that it's costing for the new monitoring will come out of our current funds for the 2020 budget year. These, and though there are a number of homes, I believe there are 26 or 27 of us, and I'm going to say this one time because there's a lot of questions about this, who opted instead of a landline, who opted for, at the time, Triple H and now SSC to install a wireless transmitter on the box, for which we pay $15 per month. So we were paying the 12 to the HOA and 15, which is 27. And those of you who are paying other alarm companies, you were paying that bill in addition to your $12. If you no longer want to have another vendor managing, you have to have our fire alarm vendor. If you have burglar alarm services or other services through other vendors, you may continue to use them, but not the fire alarm. The fire alarm must be through our vendor, but it's not going to cost you anything additional. In most cases, you're going to save money. So that's my speech about that. We're ready to go on now in the agenda, Amber?
I am ready to go. I'm just letting you lead the way.
I think what we were going to do now is talk about the website. Yeah, we've already done item two on the agenda. Item three was to talk about what is up there on the website regarding the alarm, the information that's up there, and if people continue to have questions, what they would do after this. So why don't we just talk about what's up there on the website?
All right, terrific. I am going to, Fran, if you could give me a thumbs up that you can see Watson Run HOA 2021 Fire Alarm Monitoring Meeting. All right, wonderful. Thank you, everybody. So we still get some deer in the headlight looks when we talk about the community website. Yes, you have a community website. For some other folks, they're tired of hearing about it and they're tired of being told that we have one. So we're trying to just make sure that everybody is on the same page. So yes, the association does have a community website. Real quick, I'm just going to go over it while I have the attention of about 76 of you. So the Watson Run HOA website is watsonrunhoa.com. So here is the home screen. We are going to be on the tab for the folks that are home that are following along with us and can see. There is a tab for today's meeting. It's 1-7-2021 Fire Alarm Monitoring, Fire Alarm Meeting. The first paragraph is just the information about tonight's meeting that we are currently on. So when we scroll past all of this information, you're going to come see the schedule where it says the Yarnell installation schedule beginning next Monday. Fran is going to go through this. However, I'm going to share a few more things before Fran goes through the schedule. On this particular web page, you're going to see pictures of Yarnell's technicians. I apologize. I would have much preferred that Yarnell gave me a photo instead of a PDF. So you're going to have to click on the PDFs to see who these folks are. I'll just do two. So the question that most of you are probably thinking, well, they're wearing masks, so how will I know who they are? All of the folks from Yarnell are going to have to be in Yarnell uniforms. You're going to be able to see the Yarnell uniform. It's the patch that looks just like this, except this one is a little bit backwards. And if you're like me, there is nothing wrong with standing at your screen and saying, can you please take your mask down just while you're outside so I can make sure that you're who you're supposed to be. You can ask for identification, but these folks should be wearing Yarnell uniforms. So the reason why we put, and there's going to be five of them, and at your leisure, you can click on these pictures. The reason we wanted to put these pictures on the website is because I know some people are very particular about their homes and who comes in their home, especially now in the age of COVID, and we understand that. We have spoken to Yarnell. All of their technicians are going to have to wear either their Yarnell face masks or their Yarnell face shields. They have to have gloves on at all times. They also have to have shoe protectors. And the supervisor at Yarnell, before they allow them to leave Yarnell's shop to be dispatched to Watson Run, all five of these folks have to have their temperatures taken. So if any of them have a temperature, it doesn't matter if they have a temperature because they have a toothache. They're not allowed to come. So as of right now, we have five. However, I can't predict if Lewis wakes up and he has a fever for whatever reason. So right now we're planning on five. However, a WCAT contractor requirement is that all of these folks, before they leave Yarnell, have to have their temperature taken by their supervisor, and that information has to be shared with us. So nobody's coming to your house if, in fact, they have a temperature. Temperature doesn't mean that people are not sick. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to make claims that I don't know. However, we're going to follow the CDC recommendations and the guidelines. This is obviously not an ideal time for us to have to do this. But again, we're dealing with a very big threat in terms of legalities for the association. Now, specifically, that the executive board is aware of their shall requirements with this fire monitoring. We have a lot of snowbirds that live in Watson Run. I aim to be you one day, that when it gets cold, I can go to Florida. But I have to work a lot more years for that. But There definitely is some liability for the association if the association is not making sure that the mandates and the requirements of Watson Run, in particular for the fire alarm monitoring, are being followed. During this meeting, and I know several people have already sent in their questions, and Fran and myself have a list of them, but during this meeting, if you have a question, you can come over here to the screen where it says, please submit your questions for the 2021 fire alarm monitoring meeting below, and we will try to answer them. If your question is very specific to your home, it may not get answered tonight. However, my office will follow up with you either with an email or call later this evening or early tomorrow morning. So if you sent in something where you said, I have four different boxes and all different parts of my house, I'm trying to consolidate them, what do I do? I can't answer that this evening. That will have to be specific to your home. But general questions will, in fact, be answered. And here is where you can, during the meeting, if you have those questions, and we will check. So as of right now, I'm going to come back to the actual schedule. I am right here. We always have it two ways. So you're going to have a Word document that you can open from the website, or we display it like this directly on the web page, because some folks do not have Word, they don't have PDF. So we always make sure we have it directly on the web page. But I'm going to bring it up in the document. Fran, can you see it?
Almost. It's coming. I've got a little rolling screen, a little rolling wheel telling, but I also have the schedule in front of me printed. So I can work from there. I don't know if anybody else can see it yet. No, they're shaking their heads. It's taking a little while to load, so we can wait. That's more, and everybody should also have received a copy, an email copy of it. In fact, you probably got two emails with it. You got one from WCAT, you got one from me. There it is. I see it.
Can everybody give me a thumbs up if they see it? All right, thank you.
Okay, so you want me to talk about the schedule? And basically, really what I want to talk about is how this schedule was developed and whether what to do if you have a conflict with the schedule. We have received some requests for changes. And I just want to say at the outset that we're trying our best to meet people's needs. However, some things have to take priority over others. Some people aren't physically here at Watson Run, and obviously we have to work with those situations. This is either a part-time home for them, or they have snowbirded someplace warm, lucky them, or whatever reason. We know that this was put together basically from a map of the community. I did not put this schedule today together. What I did do was take the schedule they made and make it make sense for most people. What they sent probably would have been, oh God, I can't even find my house on this schedule. So
it looked like algebra. That's what it looked like.
I organized revised it to look like this. And what we, the technician, on Monday, we're only going to have four technicians here. And that's because one guy has Monday off. On Tuesday through Friday, all five will be here. So the schedule may look a little heavier on Tuesday through Friday than it does the other days. Some days you can see on the schedule, like Monday, for example, they're starting at 8 o'clock. And then, you know, the last install would be a 4-ish. And then the other days they're starting at 7:30 instead, because they have more guys here. So just bear with me. Where you see your name and your address on the schedule is what you were pre-assigned. What we have received from some people, I have an appointment I can't change. I have a medical appointment. I have, you know, something that is not flexible. And we have already made some accommodations for those situations. What we would really like to request is, if you have something occurring, let's just say you're on the schedule for Monday between 8 and 1, and you're not sure you can be there that entire time, but you'll be there some of that time. If somehow the technicians might be able to come back to your house during that time frame. That's a flexibility thing. But if you're not going to be there at all on Monday and you're on the schedule and you can't change that, then you need to send an email to WCAT as soon as possible if you can't be there or you can't have somebody be there. I know some of you are, you know, your family and friends are elsewhere scattered all over this United States, but some of you have neighbors in Watson Run who, when you're not there, they look out for your place. Maybe your neighbor can go and be there, you know, let the technician in and close up after. That's up to you to make those arrangements. What we'd really like is only to get change requests that are necessitated by work, medical commitments, or other very significant commitments that you cannot work around. Okay. And because if we got everybody saying, well, you know, I was going to do such and such at that time, could you move it to another time? I would like to ask you, please, if at all possible, to refrain from asking for special consideration if it's something that you have some flexibility to change. You will see displayed on the screen Group 1. All of that designation, most of the rest of the development was done geographically. This group is a hodgepodge of people all throughout the community. It says there's 26, but I actually know there's a 27th because he's my neighbor who installed one after we assembled this information, who had one installed by SSC. And so it's probably 27 at this point. Those are on the list to do first. Those of you who have an existing cellular unit, the people on this first list, the technician is going to remove that unit and they're going to hand that unit over to a staff member from WCAT who will be physically on site next week. And those units will be returned to SSC. We are not canceling our service with SSC until the switch occurs. So please, I'd ask you request that unless you have some serious issue with the functioning of your unit between now and the changeover, please do not contact SSC to ask them anything about this changeover. We only have a verbal agreement with them. There's no contract. And they will eventually be told to disconnect all the services, but we don't want any gaps in service. So those people on that list have a special circumstance. I also want to let the people on that list know that if you have prepaid monies, most of you have let me know if you don't pay the $15 rental monthly, if you have prepaid it for any period of time, I will make one inquiry via email to this company requesting that they refund any prepayment for monthly monitoring that people have paid in. Obviously, January would be prorated because you've gotten some service during January. Beyond an initial inquiry, it will be up to those folks on that list. If they choose to ignore my request or don't respond in a timely manner, I would suggest that you contact them. If I hear nothing back, I'll just say, hey, I didn't get a response to my email. And then I would say that it's up to you to fight it out with them. I hope we don't have to fight it out with them. But beyond that, if you paid them monies for other things, I don't know what to say about that other than if it's something that they can undo, you might be able to request a refund. But if they came out and charged you a service charge to come to your home, which they should not have, then it's up to you to duke it out with them. Okay. I can't help you with that. So that's group one schedule. Do you want to go up a little bit, Amber? Because I think the group one schedule is a little bit unique because it's a hodgepodge of everybody. Okay. The rest of the development is more or less, if you looked at a map of the development, it's done pretty geographically so that the technicians aren't running back and forth from one end of the neighborhood to the other. Now, if we do have to accommodate somebody's schedule request due to a commitment they can't change, there might be an oddball, you know, situation where someone has to run from the end of Spring House all the way out to all the way out to the front end of Pleasant Road, but you know, so be it. But right now they're arranged semi-geographically. The technicians are expected to be in your home approximately an hour, give or take. In most cases, it will be less because the equipment they're bringing, the units are pre-programmed. So basically they're gonna come to your home. They're gonna need access to wherever your alarm panel is. Mine happens to be in my attic. Some of you, it's in your basement. In most cases, if you have a basement, it's in the basement. There may be other places that people have them. Those are the two most common, is attic and basement. So they will need access to those spaces. They will disconnect whatever you currently have. They will connect with the new cellular unit to your box, wherever that alarm box is, test the system. Then they will need to go to your little alarm panel, which to me looks just like a thermostat. In my house, it's in my front hallway. Many people told me it's in their laundry room. So those are the two things they will need to access. They are hoping against hope that they won't run into any issues with anybody's systems that will delay them. But of course, inevitably, there will be some glitches. There may be some homes where they're in and out in 20 minutes, and there may be homes where they're longer than an hour. The time window they're giving you is an approximate, obviously. And they will go home to home within those time frames. They may run behind schedule a little. They may run ahead of schedule a little. I'm hoping that many of you who are flexible will not mind. Supposedly, you know, like if at the end of Monday, they finish every home and somebody's scheduled for Tuesday, you might get a knock on your door or a phone call asking if they can do your system. That's a possibility. So, and if you're not there and it's not convenient, it's okay. We just don't want all these technicians here and they finish up early and they would have time to do more and to have them waste time. So this is a schedule, but it's a very flexible one. Of course, we hope to God there's no snow next week. There was some forecast and then it was off and now it's back on. It's one of those things we can't control, Mother Nature, although I wish I could. So this is a schedule, but it's meant to be flexible. So every day pretty much looks the same. Group two, group three, group four, and group five are all people that are currently monitored with the traditional HHH/SSC monitoring system. So they're all pretty much the same. Group six, okay. I got to address group six. We recently found out that Yarnell is not going to be able to suddenly take over these accounts next week because they're brand new accounts and they aren't going to be able to, they would be able to install the equipment, but they want to get all of the ones that they are responsible for monitoring that are being monitored now by SSC so they can change all of those over. And those of you who already have another company monitoring you, or you have Comcast security or whatever it is that you have, you will be hearing shortly when you are having yours done. Don't do anything with that. Excuse me. Number four on this particular list, you might see there's a time on there for Friday. This person and another person had some special circumstances and will not be here next week. And they're somehow tied together. I do not know the connection. So Yarnell has agreed. And it will also be a very helpful test, sort of a test system for them coming out and installing the units for those two homes. So we're not, they can't come and do anymore. We figured this would be a, you know, we could make this exception. If they could do it, they are coming out Friday. And that's the only exception to the rest of everybody will be done Monday through Friday next week. And then we will shortly get with Yarnell about when the folks on this particular list you see here will be done. If after this Zoom is over, if you see any information here that doesn't look accurate about your home, you can certainly send us an email and say, no, this isn't right. We have such and such, or we don't have such and such. You, whatever you have, if you're not part of those first five groups, will continue until you have the new system. You don't need to do anything. If you're paying for a contract, whatever you're doing, you keep doing until you're hooked up. And we're hoping to have that schedule developed soon. So that's the schedule. And I think I may have jumped a little and already talked about what's going to happen when the technician comes, that what they need to have access to. Amber, can you bring up the agenda again so I can see where we are?
All right, let me stop sharing this one and I will bring the other one to the screen. Can you see the agenda, Fran?
Yes, I can.
Terrific.
Okay, so I think I did parts of number four. I definitely went over the schedule and the expectations. I think I mentioned the costs. I believe I have covered everything that's under item four, but if you feel that any of that is still a question in your mind, you certainly can submit a question as Amber showed you on the website live right now. And she would be able to check if you have a question from your phone right now. So she would be able to do that. What I think we could do now is actually move to the questions that were already submitted, if that makes any sense. So if everybody's okay with that, if you think you understand what's been presented so far and there's no other issues, what I'd like to do is move to the questions that have been submitted. Because actually, I think some of you may, you know, some of you might recognize these as questions you submitted, but some of you may not have even thought of some of these questions. So that's why it's good, I think, for you to see all the questions from everybody, hear the answers to all the questions that everybody has submitted. So the first question is, currently the telephone connection goes through the alarm panel and is disconnected when an alarm is activated. Will that stay the same after the new cellular device is installed? I'm going to try to answer that the best I can. There is no telephone connection associated with this. So there that question really doesn't pertain to the type of device that you're going to have. To the best of my knowledge, it has nothing to do with telephones whatsoever. So there will be no interruption. There will be nothing for you to worry about with that. It has nothing to do with your phone. Question number two, has Yarnell mentioned that they are aware of residents having already prepaid Triple H, now SSC, for services, in my case, burglar alarm monitoring, which will now be performed by Yarnell at no cost? I realize this is not their issue, but I was just wondering. I addressed it earlier, but I'm going to say again, Yarnell will monitor whatever you have in your home now that is connected and wired into your current monitoring system. So if you are current, everybody who has fire alarm monitoring connected, CO monitors that are wired in and connected, that's carbon monoxide. If it's wired in, it will be monitored. If you have a burglar alarm system now through SSC that's currently being monitored by them, this will also monitor that. You would no longer need any other vendor or contractor. It would be included in the cost. The only potential exception could be if you have equipment that's not compatible with their system, and the technician will be able to determine that when they come to your home. So yeah, it won't, this is actually going to cost you less if you're with another vendor. And if you're now paying $10 a month extra to SSC for burglar alarm monitoring, you won't be paying that. You're going to save money. If you have a CO detector that is not wired in, meaning it's plugged in or it's wireless, but it's not part of your system and not being monitored now, it won't be monitored under this new system. If you would like it to be, that is something that you can request. It's a technician. Let Yarnell know, and they could come back at another time and do what is necessary to hook up your CO monitors. I had a conversation with Jeff Hausman the other day, and he feels very strongly that people should be monitored. Their CO detectors should be monitored at all times for safety. Yes, it will beep if there's a CO problem, but if you're not here, that's not going to do you any good. If you're somewhere else and your CO monitor goes off, you could have a big problem. So he's recommending those who don't have them wired, consider getting that done. That would be your option, and it would be at your cost. It's better to have a non-wired one than to have none at all. So if you have a non-wired one, don't fret for right now, but if you want yours to be monitored, if it's not already, that could be arranged at a later time. All right, third question. What will this fire alarm changeover cost, and what part of the budget is the money coming from? The fire alarm changeover cost, there's a total, but basically it's the $99 cost of the cellular radios for each home. And if you've got a calculator, you can figure that out. And then the other thing is the additional cost. If we were keeping our current systems, the monitoring cost would not be going up. But our current systems wouldn't be good indefinitely, as Amber already explained. That would only be good in the short term. They wouldn't be good for the long term. So our monitoring cost is going from $12 to $18. You will not see any cost out of your pocket to that. You will see no change because we're not increasing the dues to cover that. The monies are coming from the surplus from the 2020 budget to pay for the installations. And I believe that the money, and Amber can correct me if I'm wrong, the money, we are prepaying the monitoring for 2021 from 2020 fees, leftover monies. Is that correct, Amber?
Sort of. So what happens is with Yarnell, because this is a very large project of 170-180 homes, for the monitoring, we had to put a down payment on the contract, and we had to put that down payment on, I believe they gave us 2 weeks prior to them ordering all 178 cellulars. So because of the contractual mandate of having to pay those monies up front, that did hit your 2020 budget. And that was a good thing, because now we don't have to special assess for any of those fees.
I should always let you explain those things. I think I understand it. And obviously I'm not a budget person. I do my household budget and I do fine with that. But when it comes to a budget for 178 home association, I'm just learning to understand how that works. So thank you, Amber, for the clarification. Okay, let's move on. Number four says, can we get the name of the device that will be installed, and can we have some specs for that device? So this person asked a bunch of questions, so I'm going to pause with that one and just say, I'm assuming that information is available. We don't have it, but I'm assuming we could get it for you. And then the person said, went on to say, currently there's a box with all the terminations from the detectors throughout. Will that main panel with connections remain and only a new wireless or cellular device be connected? Or will an entirely new panel need to be installed? At this time, we are expecting that they will be able to use the equipment you already have. Mr. Yarnell came to my home and looked at my system and said, these systems are nothing new. We monitor these all the time. And he that's when we did found out that Triple H was subcontracting the monitoring to him all along. So they had monitored our systems until SSC bought the company. So they're well aware of Watson Run and what our needs are. So as I'm understanding is they will not need to install any new equipment. SSC did not install any of these systems in our homes. They do have, I mean, we are leasing, some of us are leasing equipment from them, but we have no obligation to do anything with the equipment because it's not theirs. They don't own that equipment. You own the alarm box in your house. Some of you are renting the cellular unit, as I am, but there is no contractual issue. This person was concerned about a contractual issue for themselves or the HOA if SSC prohibits removal of their equipment by another vendor. There will be no equipment removed other than those cellular units that those some of us are renting. Nothing else is going to be removed. And if it was, it wouldn't have anything to do with SSC. They do not own the equipment that is installed in your house. Number five, as previously discussed, can we expect a refund from Triple H for unused months? I already addressed this. If you've paid, I will make one inquiry on behalf of the group, and then it's up to you. Six, when Yarnell installs the radio transmitters, I am assuming they will take over the monitoring of the security system at this time. This includes fire, CO2, and burglar alarm systems. I don't want any disruptions of my fire and security systems. You will not have any disruption. And yes, they will be taking over the monitoring of anything that is currently hooked up to the monitoring that we have now. Seven, my understanding is that Yarnell will also inspect the CO systems and all other systems to make sure they're operating correctly and to Yarnell's monitoring criteria and satisfaction. It's a very good point. And I am assuming that they are testing your entire system and making sure that it meets their specifications. I am making an assumption that with the excellent reputation of this company, that there's no way they're going to hook something up to a system that isn't correct. If they find anything, they're going to tell you what needs to be done to correct it.
And Fran, yes. If I could just peek in real quick. As a part of the association's obligation to the fire alarm monitoring, we are, as the association, requiring Yarnell community-wide, all 178 homes, to test your fire alarm system at least every 30 days and provide the management company, which is WUCAT, and also the executive board with a report that shows us that when it's tested, all of the alarm monitors are in fact working. So that is a requirement that the association has placed on Yarnell. And the association has also placed a requirement on Yarnell that the moment a fire alarm comes back and it's not working, or if there's any issues with the system, that Yarnell not only notifies the homeowner, but also they notify the association. So I just wanted to make that a point.
It's a good point. Thank you, Amber. Because we are responsible for making sure this community is safe under these mandates. Okay. Eight says Yarnell will supply to the homeowner. And wait, this is really a statement. I need to make sure before I read this that I read it to myself first. I apologize. This is a person who has a burglar alarm asking about security codes that might show on this up on their system alarm panel, knowing if they need to replace batteries. That's a question the technician, when they come to your house, should go over with you. I am certain that when they're finished setting up your system, they'll show you anything you need on the panel. And if they don't, if there's any question about anything, they will get back to you with an answer about that. But it would be my understanding, just like when I contacted Triple H to come to my home, they went over the operation of my panel with me. So I'm assuming if there are changes to the operation of your panel, see, they're not replacing your panel. So I would assume whatever codes and things that you have now would remain. I don't have a burglar alarm, so I can't speak to that, but if you want to know if there would be any changes, you can ask the technician. My suspicion is there will not be any changes. Okay. All right. I'm just trying to see. I think that was the list of questions that I received from Amber from the website. I don't think I missed any. I'm just reading quickly. I would like to just make a general statement. We have received several concerns, and Amber alluded to this too, that why are we doing this at this time in the middle of a pandemic? Well, yes, there is a pandemic, but we're doing this because we know that there are some homes in here that have had smoke detectors go off and there was no communication to the county emergency system, and no emergency personnel were dispatched. So we do not want a tragedy to occur at Watson Run. Not that COVID is not serious. Believe me, it is serious. But I think in light of how serious this issue is of making sure that your home and you are safe in your home is every bit as serious as the potential, if not more, of being exposed to a virus that is very serious. So I just think that I understand many people have health concerns, health issues, and I'm not minimizing those. But I also think you want to be safe in your home, and we don't want a fire to happen or a carbon monoxide thing to happen, which will have very, could have very serious and deadly consequences, not only for you, but for your neighbors. The houses in here are close together. So that's what I'll say about that. I know people's comfort level with letting someone into their house is low. I will say I have arrangements to have another contractor come to my house, and I'm joining with a couple other neighbors, and someone said, can they come in through my daylight basement, or can they come in through my Bilco doors? If your alarm box is in the basement, that works for that. However, they will need access to the panel, wherever your panel is, but they don't have to walk through your entire house. They only need access to those specific areas of your home. So obviously we want to minimize everybody's exposure, and that's why we're going to all these precautions, but we also want to make sure everybody is safe. Amber, do you have other questions that have been submitted during the meeting?
I have one that just came in from Lois. It's a very good question. Lois is asking, if we are leasing from SSC our wireless transmitter, will Yarnell leave our old transmitter with us? Will SSC want it returned to them? So if you are leasing SSC equipment, Yarnell should not be taking that equipment. They should, in fact, be leaving it with you. And what'll happen is once Yarnell has changed over all of the homeowners, or at least a majority of them, so we can turn the switch on, and now everybody is properly monitored by Yarnell, our company will be contacting SSC and asking them how they would like to go about the collection of any of their equipment that is leased that they want returned to them. SSC may respond to us and say they can just keep it, it's not worth our time to gather, or they may give a different directive. And at that point, we will let the community know. But Yarnell should not be taking with them any SSC equipment. And they know that, and they know how to distinguish between their equipment and SSC's. And Fran, I know that we emailed out these questions that are on the screen right now. You do see questions on the screen, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. So we need to go over, we can go over them too.
I didn't know if you just wanted to paraphrase them. This was questions that Fran had originally submitted to Yarnell. The bold is Yarnell, their answers. So this came directly from Yarnell.
Okay. The only thing I have to figure out is how to move my window, my gallery view, so it's not covering the questions right now. How can I do that? Let me see if I can do it. Okay. I think the first question was, if you have other monitoring, do you need to do anything special? Basically, when the switchover occurs, you basically, when the technician is there, you can tell them we have a burglar alarm, we want to be on here. It's just a matter of telling them at the time or following up. You don't need to do anything else. If it's now hooked up, it will continue to be hooked up. Okay. And I think the next one is actually the same. It's basically no extra charge for those to be, monitored. We definitely don't want you notifying your current vendor that you have to change anything before all the homes are switched over. So don't call up SSC when the technician leaves your home and say, oh, I don't need you anymore. Please do not do that, because we don't want anybody to have gaps in service. Even with those of you who are leasing the wireless radio like I am, I don't plan on contacting them until the switchover. And if you want to contact them on your own after the switchover, that's fine. I was just planning on sending an email to the company stating that I would like to know how they are going to refund monies for the unused portion of prepaid wireless monitoring. And hope that they say, oh yes, we will take care of that. I will say we have 27 residents who have the system, some of whom have informed me that they've prepaid. What is the plan for reimbursing them for the unused portion of those prepayments? Okay. I think I already answered question number 5 before. Both 4 and 5 are related to CO monitoring. Oh, go back up. I just want to make sure, Amber, sorry. Just want to make sure that I said everything. Okay. If you have them now, they will be monitored. If you don't have them and you want them, that could be arranged through Yarnell at a later time. They could give you a quote for the cost of the units and the cost to install them. While Mr. Yarnell was here, I also happened to ask him, because I know there are some, I would say there's a shelf life to any like CO monitors and to fire alarm smoke detectors. And it's printed actually on your smoke detector units and on your CO units, how long they're supposed to be good for. And beyond that, there's no guarantee that they're functional. So if it goes, you would have to replace the units at your cost and wire, you know, okay, let's just keep smoke detectors separately. You can get smoke detectors that are compatible with your system and you can hook them up yourself, or you can bring somebody in who knows what they're doing to hook it up. CO monitoring is a little bit more complicated. And there's a big difference in quality between the one you can go buy at your local hardware store or big box store and the ones that we have installed and wired into our homes. They are costly to replace. I have been told some pretty high figures from homeowners who have had to replace one that was beeping and no longer, basically it was dying and it was giving out its last gasps. So if your CO monitor is going, you can contact Yarnell and they will work you up a quote for replacing it through them. That's up to you. They're not required in Laycock Township, but, and I have to say that for full disclosure, you don't have to have one, but a lot of people want the peace of mind and the safety of having a CO monitor, because there are significant consequences for a CO issue in your home. Okay, so let's scroll up if we can, or down, whatever way you like to look at that, Amber. Okay, this was asked about relocating alarm boxes. Some people said we didn't have a choice. They put the alarm box where they wanted to. And some have actually been told by electricians that they can't do that. Only your alarm company can do that. For now, Yarnell wants to place the new cellular radio on your existing alarm box, wherever it lives. However, if you would like to contact them after this process is finished and get a quote on any changes you want, if you want it moved, if you want any other changes to it, that's up to you. They provide additional services. If you don't have burglar alarm now and you want one, you can contract for that. They'll still monitor it, but they would charge you for all the equipment that's involved. Just like when you go on Amazon and you order Simply Safe, like my son has, you have to buy the equipment. Okay. Most of us in here, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm fairly tech savvy, but I would not put my own monitoring system in my own house that I ordered on Amazon, because I just am not techy enough to do that. So, you know, anything you want in addition just can't be done now. Their technicians are coming out to do a very specific install process, and you can just make it known that you have other things you would like to discuss at a future time. That's, I think, all the ones that we sent out earlier, and it's all the questions we've received. I can't think of anything else, unless anybody has anything. Amber, any closing words from you? I hope she's still here. I see her still on the screen, but she's muted. There must be something going on in the background. Hopefully everybody is aware of when you're scheduled, what to do if you have any concerns, what to do if you still have questions. That's the most important thing. And if you want to play this back for some evening entertainment, it will be available. I will not be playing this back tonight. I promise you.
Fran, can you hear me?
I can.
All right. I got stuck in that world where I muted myself.
So. Yes, I understand that. So I was filling the space. Because it's right, funny to just look at people.
I am going to read a question from Stan Goodman. Stan just has a clarification. He thinks he may have written his previous question incorrectly. So Stan put, the current alarm panels that depend on telephone lines for monitoring cut off telephone service from the home phones during the time an alarm is being processed. And Stan said that he's going to ask the technician if that will continue to occur after the cellular device is installed. I would say no, but I think that's a good idea, Stan, that you follow up with the technician because they will certainly be the experts on that.
Here's what I would add to that. I would agree with Amber's statement. It's certainly good to ask the technician, but I would, from what we were told about the cellular unit, once we say goodbye to SSC and they are no longer monitoring us, whatever is we are currently being monitored through your phone line will no longer be part of the monitoring loop. So I would say in the interim, Stan, you might be right about that. That until we have the switchover complete and we drop the monitoring, it will probably still happen. But as soon as we have the switchover, I don't think it will happen anymore.
We also have, it's more so of a comment. However, it's a very good one. The homeowner, and I won't say their name, they noted that they are not on the initial list. We will work with Yarnell about that. The initial list is for the folks that currently have the cellular radios. So if that is a mistake, we'll make sure that that address is added to the initial list on the first couple of days. The person also noted when Yarnell disconnects the cellular radio from SSC, that will trigger an alarm to SSC. So how will that be handled? I'm actually have an email in front of me from SSC. They are aware of this. Our expectation for SSC, which is standard, is that until we sign off on their contract and effectively terminate it, SSC is responsible for making sure that service is provided to your home. What that means in terms of Yarnell turning on the cellulars, once they're turned on, it's going to be switched over to Yarnell. So it should not interrupt your service at all. You're just going to go from one provider to the next. But the person is worried about it triggering an alarm and SSC being aware. SSC is in fact aware that this is taking place. I received an email of Fran, I'll send it to you, but they are aware.
Okay, thank you. That's the end of the comments and questions you've gotten so far.
Another one just came in that talked about how Yarnell is currently servicing their home. So this is specific to the homeowner. So we'll follow up with them specifically. Okay. Let me do one more refresh because I don't want a situation where we discontinue the meeting and then somebody comes through. Going once, going twice. Okay, it looks like everybody has submitted in their questions that wanted to.
And if you did have a question, you didn't get a chance to submit, or if you were viewing this as a recording and you still have questions, we're not going anywhere. Amber is not going anywhere, and WooCat will be checking their email and they will get back to you. If you have scheduling issues, again, I ask you to keep them to a minimum and try to be as flexible as possible with the schedule to the best of your ability, and questions will be answered. And I would ask that you please email those to WooCat. It is not necessary to include me in the email. If you want to, that's fine, but I'm gonna be depending on WooCat to do most of the answering of those questions and not me.
And just an FYI, if you see a woman with short hair and it's red on property and has a loop hat jacket on, that is Kathleen from our office. She will be on property assisting Yarnell, specifically if there are running into issues with homeowners. Kathleen will have contact information and be calling homeowners. So if you get a message from Kathleen from WooCat, just an FYI that she is assisting Yarnell and Watson Run with this project to make it go as smooth as possible with the understanding it's 178 homes. We recognize something is bound to go wrong, but we're trying to put all of the measures in place that it goes as smooth as possible. And that's all I have, Fran.
And that's a wrap for me as well. Everybody have a nice evening. Stay safe. And if I had a gavel in my hand, I would gavel the meeting close. I'll just say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.